Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info.
This is your call to action. Get prepared, America. Economy, survival, energy, disasters. This is USAPrepares.com. Informative radio, educational radio. Interact now by emailing instructor at USAPrepares.com or text at 434-390-7953. Class, please take your seats. Now, your instructor, Vincent Fennelli.
Yeah. Hour number two of USA Prepares. Thank you for being in class with us today. David is joining me. And David, I just want to make a couple quick comments. Tomorrow, Kathy and Sharon will be at the front of the classroom. Kathy and Sharon are USA Prepares domestic engineers. They are the best I know in the world of saving money, taking care of their families, and doing things at the home front. And together, they will be broadcasting. I won't be here. I mean, I'm going to be listening. And I am delighted to do this. And I believe it's a first in radio where two callers who never met each other, decided that they wanted to work together and teach a class. Sharon sent me an email weeks ago asking if she could do this, and we had an opening. And I said, okay, just prepare what you want to talk about. And I suggested that Kathy take the lead because she's done it before. She's been on with me a bunch of times, and she's taken the lead and interviewed me. So this time, Kathy's going to take the lead. Next time, Sharon can take the lead if she'd like to. But they're going to teach a class, and I believe it's a radio first, where two callers are taking over the show. Now, when I say callers, these are callers who rose through dedication and work, rose to become instructors. So we went from caller to instructor to running the broadcast. I'm excited to be able to do that. I'm excited to be able to offer that opportunity. I believe it's a first. David was a caller. David is an instructor, and David's with us. So I just wanted to mention that. A couple other little things about COVID. World War II lasted 1,364 days, according to the Atlantic Journal and Constitution. It's a paper out of Georgia. In it, they say that on the average, there are 220 U.S. service personnel who die per day. Now, that doesn't include the wounded. That's just the ones who have died. Unfortunately, they died. So that's about 6,600 every month. Now, World War II lasted 1,364 days, 1941 through 1945. Yesterday, the United States lost 4,077 people to the coronavirus, which was formerly called the China virus by President Donald Trump when he was president. But you can't say that anymore. So, class, don't use the term China virus anymore. Can't use that because it's derogatory toward the Chinese. That's what the executive order that Joe signed says. He didn't use the word derogatory, but it's not polite. So yesterday, 4,077 people died of the coronavirus. But on average, 220 people died, servicemen died per day during World War II. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine how mismanaged the previous president, how badly he mismanaged the coronavirus? So I just want to put those numbers in perspective. 4,077 died yesterday, and during World War II, a global war, we lost 6,600 every month. We lost two-thirds in one day of the people who were killed, U.S. servicemen who were killed in a month during World War II. David?
Yeah, this whole situation has been mismanaged from the get-go, but it's still to the problem. It's still to this day. Now, I didn't know anybody up until a few months back that was exposed, and they lost two family members in December. These people are at really high risk. His wife has an attendant come and help now her. She brought the virus into their house. And this is how confusing and ridiculous this is. The woman that was there, she had to quarantine for 8 days. But her family has to quarantine for 28 days. But she's able, after 8 days, to still go back to that house every day to assist these individuals. And I mean, if they get it, they're in trouble. That's how bad of health issues. I tried to get them off.
I have a comment. I have a comment. I can't help it. So, a year ago, we would hear, you know, these large numbers of infectees. And we would ask, y'all know anybody? No. You know anybody? No. You know anybody? No. So you'd ask, do you know anybody who has it? No, but the numbers were growing really, really quickly. So in the early days, the reports were people were infected, lots of them, but nobody knew anybody who had it, except maybe a couple people would know somebody. Now, there's a guy in New York City who called in, and he said, oh, yeah, it's really bad. All right. Well, now, if you ask any family, you all have a family member who's been infected? The answer is, yeah. So we went from, we couldn't find anybody who knew somebody who was infected, to the point where now it's in every family. Tell me I'm wrong. Tell me I'm wrong.
Right. Now, in the beginning, we said this before, New York was going to be one of the first hit hard. It's just the size, and it's going to happen. The way they live. But here's the thing. I watched these. I paid attention to the news this weekend. In one day, they said all of a sudden the California lockdowns and all the lockdowns are going to be released because all of a sudden, for some strange reason, there's a whole lot more beds and everything available, which I have an opinion about why that is. But people are looking at the numbers on the news. 15 minutes later, I see another news station saying that this new strain is found here, and the doctors are saying if you get it, you will be fighting for your life in the hospital. And it is spreading in the West Coast and in a couple states. Within 15 minutes, two totally different stories. To this day, we're still getting this confusing information from people we're supposed to be looking up to in the medical field.
Okay, so David, let's say you were going to have a surgical procedure, and you were in the prep, you know, in the prep room, and you know, just before you were going to be wheeled into the operating room, and you saw, as you're being wheeled into the operating room, you see your surgeon, and you see the nurses team, and you see the assistants and the anesthesiologists, and nobody's got a mask on. Would that bother you?
Oh yeah.
Okay, just wondering.
Yeah.
All right. If you don't mind, I'd like to switch gears to things that I promised I would talk about, tips from the book. And you're certainly...
Can I ask you a question?
Yeah.
This could be a tip from your book.
Yeah.
It could be. You raise animals, and you a lot of people that call up here raise and have dogs. Now, I mentioned I lost my shepherd. We're looking for another one. My question is, do you inject your own vaccines for your dogs, or do you, and how do you go about that process?
Okay. Yeah. We have a veterinarian, actually a couple of veterinarians that we really like in this area. And when our son was studying at the university, I suggested that he volunteer at the veterinarian's clinic. So he showed up and he said, hey, I'm here to volunteer. I'll do whatever you want. I don't want any money. I'm here to help out. Do whatever you want me to do. muck out the it's with an M, you know, the areas where the animals, the large animals are treated. Whatever you want me to do, help deliver cows, calves, whatever you want me to do, I'll do it. And no charge. And I'd love to do it for the experience. Well, they became friends of his. And so we go to them for the immunizations for the animals. Now, we don't do most of them, but we do the ones that that are absolutely necessary. So that's it. That's all we do. And we try to make sure that the dogs don't eat poop and things like that, get worms. But we do go to a veterinarian for that. But I suppose we could give them our own injections if we wanted to.
That's why I was just curious. Because the last shepherd that I had, we did not give them the whole cocktail that they wanted to give them, because there's a lot. He's the only one that went to full life. All the others died of cancer. And that's something that I just... And they said, well, you could just go to the farm store and get the vaccine yourself. You already know how to give injections. You could do it. Right. So I was just curious if that's what, and if you had any similar experiences with giving multiple, the whole, because they want you to, the last time, I don't know how many vaccines there was in one vial of the different, of everything they want you to give them. Now they want you to give them the whole. I didn't know if you had any experiences with any health problems in doing that, if you have had in the past.
Well, okay. All right, we can talk about that. And this is something that's in the book. I've had shepherds probably most of my life since maybe 10, 12 years old. And they're wonderful animals. We have two shepherds right now, about a year old now. And they got the minimum of the vaccines, absolute minimum. Now, we did lose a couple couple shepherds because we were advised by a veterinarian to put Frontline on them for fleas and ticks. And it's this liquid, and it's a little ampule, and you pour a specific amount based on weight behind their shoulders. You rub it in. Everything's good to go for a month. And they don't scratch because it kills the fleas and ticks. But what it ended up doing is paralyzing both of the shepherds. And one of them, the rear legs wouldn't work. The other one was incontinent about the same time. So these are both puppies that we got. Started out, you know, they're the same age, and one became incontinent, and the other one, only the front legs worked. So the nervous system became destroyed. So the ingredients in Frontline, I would never use, nor any of the compounds like it. So what do? We flea and tick check and comb the animals the hard way. That's what we do. Or we use Cedarside, which is... you can look it up, cedar, C-I-D-E, and you can spray that on them. And it's not for cats, just for dogs. Keep it out of their faces. And the fleas and ticks don't like it. But you have to do it, you know, every couple times a week maybe. But that's what we do. And we spray down their bedding, you know, where they like to sleep, so the hitchhikers don't like to jump on. That's how we handle that. It works great. But, you know, Mrs. Finelli has a flea comb. And she takes that, and then dogs run over because they get attention. They love it. So that's what we do. And then we treat the fleas that are on the flea comb to a swim. And you know they can't swim? You can't swim. Just get in soapy water, and they dive under, and they never come back up. So we'll come back. David, if you have any other questions, I was going to talk about oil changes and why certain engines that absolutely have to have often oil changes, regular, or early and often.
Attention business owners body slammed by overwhelming debt. If your business is in trouble, hassled by creditors, if you're frustrated, finally fed up with big business bailouts while your business has been left for dead, please listen close. There's a brand new fast-track bankruptcy. Some have even called it the biggest small business bailout in American history. Designed for individuals and their businesses. And look, almost no one knows about this yet. My attorney wasn't even aware of it. The truth is, beating the system has never been easy because it's rigged in a sense against the little guy. But here's the jaw-dropping news nobody's talking about. They've literally just changed the system so that you can beat it. But only if you understand how the new game has to be played. Find out if you qualify at pocketsoflight.com. This government-backed small business repair program is still legal, but may not be renewed after the election. Fight back fairly. Fight back ethically at pocketsoflight.com.
Would you like to get back that full head of hair from years past? Now, there is Reveal. Beverly Hills celebrity dermatologist Dr. Nathan Newman took nearly a decade to develop Reveal from natural botanicals to return to a full body head of hair. Reveal for men and women with a 30-day money-back guarantee at GCNLife.com or toll-free 844-443-6637. 844-443-6637. Reveal at GCNLife.com.
The old way of living with diabetes is a pain. You've got to remember to do your testing, and you always need to be sticking your fingers. The new way to live your life with diabetes is with a continuous glucose monitor. You simply apply a discreet, easy-to-use sensor on your body, and it continuously monitors your glucose levels, helping you spend more time in range and freeing you from painful finger pricks. If you test your blood sugar at least 4 times per day and inject insulin at least 3 times per day, or use an insulin pump and have private insurance or Medicare, you might be eligible for a CGM with little or no cost to you. Call U.S. Medical Supply today for a free benefits check. We offer free shipping, 90-day supplies, and we bill Medicare or your insurance directly. Call now and say goodbye to finger pricks.
800-880-1896. 800-880-1896. 800-880-1896. That's 800-880-1896.
Anytime, any place, anywhere. Radio remains the most intimate of all forms of media. At home, at work, in the car, on smartphones. Over 90% of consumers still listen to radio every week. That makes choosing radio as a place to advertise your business one of the best decisions you can make. Email advertise@gcnlive.com and partner up with an experienced GCN representative. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
Pencils, paper, notebooks, iPads. Class is now in session. USAPrepares.com. Educational radio. Set your memory to high power. Your USAPrepares.com instructor, Vincent Finelli, at the controls.
So just me in the studio, and David has joined, and I wanted to mention a couple of things that, from the tips in the book about oil changes. I've talked about oil changes a lot, but this is really important. So we see a lot of vehicles here at the farm, and we help people with their broken down vehicles. And one of the things that we've been seeing is a plethora of problems with engines that have these high efficiency gasoline powered engines. With variable valve timing, VVT. Okay. And what this is a way of advancing and retarding the camshaft to alter the timing of the intake and exhaust valves for maximum performance at any given RPM range. So you can get more fuel economy with this variable valve timing. And the way it works is there's a solenoid, it's an electrically controlled solenoid, that alters the oil pressure that goes to the valve timing mechanism. And we have seen these darn things get plugged up because people don't change their oil enough. So if the oil change frequency is 5,000 miles, they say, well, 5, 6, 7, 8,000, 9,000, that's close. What happens is the sludge builds up in the engine, and it causes this solenoid that regulates the flow of oil to become impaired. And the variable valve timing stops working, and the fuel economy nosedives. Also, the engine runs really rough, and it emits, you know, more pollution. It's just a bad thing. And all you have to do is change your oil a little more frequently. That's all you have to do, and use the right oil. That's all. And when you change, and you need to change the oil yourself, because you can't trust anybody to put the right oil in your car anymore, because they don't know. The guy at the auto parts store doesn't know. The guy at the Quick Lube doesn't know. The salesperson at Walmart, you know, when you get your oil change, which one do you want? Do you want the $19.99, the $29.99, the $39.99, the $49.99, or do you want the good stuff? You know, like Mobil 1. And different engine manufacturers require different additives. So, for example, if you have a Mercedes-Benz, a lot of them require 0W-40. And 0W-40 is available by Mobil 1, and it's called European formula. Why? Because the Europeans want more additives to keep the engines clean. And when I look in the engines, when I open up a Mercedes-Benz valve cover, they look great because we use the right oil, and you can too. Okay, so read the owner's manual. Find out what the engine manufacturer, the car manufacturer, wants you to use, and use it and change it often, more often, especially if you have a variable valve timing engine. And what? Who has them? General Motors, the little four cylinder engines, the Asians, you know, Honda, manufacturers like that, they have them. So VVT. Look for it, and if you have it, change your oil often. And use the right oil. And here's what I do. So not everybody does this, but when I get an oil filter, they come in a box. And I'm looking at one right now, STP. STP is the house brand for AutoZone. I've cut them apart, and they're okay. The STP brand oil filters are okay. And we buy them probably, I don't know, 50 to 100 at a time. So we get a really good price on them, and they come in boxes, and they are sealed at the end cap. There's a plastic seal to keep dust from getting in them, to keep moisture from rusting them. Now, of course, they're made in China. But what I do when I change the oil, of course, I told you I change it when the oil's hot. I've got everything ready, come back from a trip, at least a half hour. I put the In our case, I put the car up on the lift, and I put the oil drain pan under it, pull out the oil filter, pull out the drain plug, and let it drain overnight. Well, you can buy a drain pan, one of those black drain pans, and drain your oil yourself. And the car has to be warm, in my opinion, the engine. But, of course, there's a risk of burning yourself. So keep that in mind. Try not to burn yourself with the hot oil. And let it drain on a flat surface, level surface, for hours. And you won't believe how much more oil comes out than if you just let it drain for, you know, the 15 seconds like the Quick Lube places. Let it drain for. So you get more oil out, more sludge out, and your engine will run better and will last longer. Well, here's what I do with the box. Now, the oil filter box, I cut the side, you know, where it says the brand and the model of the oil filter. I cut off the side of the box. And I write on the back of it the date, the mileage, the oil I used, etc. So I keep these little, let's say 3x5 size boxes or larger, and I put them in a Ziploc bag, and they are dated, and that's what I did. If I change the transmission filter, I cut the side of the box off.
Attention real estate investors. Do you need cash immediately? If you own one or multiple rental properties, you can use your equity to get cash out fast. The best part is we don't need tax returns or even a good credit score. At America's Loan Source, we are not a bank and we don't have bank rules. We make the decisions to loan you money, and there's no limit how much we can give you. Some clients have gotten as much as $500,000 or more within days. Use the money any way you want. If you own one rental property or 100, and COVID has left you in a cash crunch, we can help you turn your equity into fast cash. Call now for details and close in as little as 10 days and get the cash you need.
800-507-6553. 800-507-6553. 800-507-6553. That's 800-507-6553.
USA Radio News with Lance Pry.
President Biden is expected to sign an executive order Thursday aimed at getting more Americans signed up for health care by reopening Obamacare. Regular enrollment through healthcare.gov is usually the last 6 weeks of the year. The special enrollment period will run from February through May, the White House said in a release. Pakistan's Supreme Court on Thursday ordered the release of a Pakistani man convicted and later acquitted in the gruesome beheading of American journalist Daniel Pearl back in 2002. A California X-ray technician died earlier this month, just 4 days after receiving his second dose of Pfizer's COVID-19 vaccine. 60-year-old Tim Zook died at UC Irvine Medical Center on January 9th after falling ill. The cause of death has not been determined, but family members say Tim gets symptoms 2.5 hours after a vaccine. That's a reaction. What else could have happened? This is USA Radio News.
Now with orders to stay at home, public health concerns, the reality of illness due to pathogens and viruses, your health is at an all-time high risk. That's why it's critical to take a proactive approach to boost your immune system. You can with new nano-colloidal silver from Americare. Our patented process with tiny silver particles, 1/100th the size of a red blood cell, allows for maximum body absorption. Americare's nano-colloidal silver effectively disinfects your body internally, attacking pathogens and viruses while supercharging your immune system. Colloidal silver is antibacterial and antiviral. Simply put, it prohibits bacterial respiration, suffocating viral cells, preventing the virus from replicating. And now, due to public health concern, Americare is authorized to offer our lowest and best price ever, around $1 a day, but supplies are limited. Purchase nanocolloidal silver now at immunesupportnow.com. That's immunesupportnow.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Supplies are limited.
As the nation and school children from around the country watch from classroom TVs.
3, 2, 1, and liftoff of the 25th Space Shuttle mission, and it has cleared the tower.
Cut roll program confirmed. Challenger now heading down range. Engines at 65%, 3 engines running normally, 3 good fuel cells, 3 good APUs. Velocity 2,257 feet per second. Altitude 4.3 nautical miles. Downrange distance 3 nautical miles. Engines throttling up. 3 engines now at 104%.
Challenger, go with throttle up.
Challenger, go with throttle up.
1 minute 15 seconds. Velocity 2,900 feet per second. Altitude 9 nautical miles. Downrange distance 7 nautical miles. Flight controllers here looking very carefully at the situation. Obviously a major malfunction. We have no downlink. We have a report from the flight dynamics officer that the vehicle has exploded. Flight director confirms that. We are looking at checking with the recovery forces to see what can be done at this point.
The Space Shuttle Challenger disaster was a fatal incident in the United States space program that occurred on this day in 1986 when the Space Shuttle Challenger broke apart 73 seconds into its 10th mission, killing all 7 crew members on board. Afterward, the space program was grounded for 3 years. The Rogers Commission report found that the Challenger accident was caused by a failure in the O-rings brought on by cold temperatures at the time of launch. For USA Radio News, I'm Lance Pry.
No other network provides the level of customer service we do. When it comes to radio advertising, we are your one-stop shop. And no matter how big or small your business is, we can help. Email us at advertise@gcnlive.com and an experienced advertising executive will help you take the first step towards driving more customers to your business or website. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
Class is back in session. Turn up the volume. USAPrepares.com with the original survival economist, Vincent Fennelli.
So a tip from the book, and David's with us. Dave, do you have any comments about what I said about cutting the side of the box off? Because that says I can write down where I bought it, the date that I changed the oil, the kind of oil I used, the quantity of oil I used, and anything else I might have done. Like I replaced the or tightened a fan belt if it had that, you know, kind of adjustment, or looked at the brakes or checked the coolant. You know, I didn't write down all the things that I did at that time on the side of the box. Or if I put a transmission filter in it, I'll cut that off, and it'll say, you know, where I bought it and the date. And so if there's any warranty issues, well, you know, here's the side of the box, and here's look up, you know, the date I bought it in case I lost the receipt or something. Any comments?
Well, that's a great idea for. I didn't ever think about that when I used to drive, but because it was just me driving a car. If you have multiple family members driving a car, they may not know. And I have to say, agree with you about the oil, making sure you should do it yourself. When I met people driving, it was amazing how many people do not change their oil. And I would ask them, what do you put? Do you know what they put? They have no idea. And they don't even seem to care. And
okay, how about, very good, very good. How about this? That leads to the, well, two other things. One is, if you buy a car, I would want to buy it from the person who owns it rather than buy it from a dealer. I would never buy another car from a dealer. I haven't done that for, I don't know, decades. But because what they do is they buy them from individuals and they slap them together and they go, okay, here, this is, you know, it's from a dealer, so obviously it's good. Well, it's not. That's not necessarily the case. They buy them at auction. They you know, try to patch them up and get rid of them. Well, having a car fixed today is very, very expensive. I don't care what the problem is. All right. So what I do when I change the oil is I go to a – if I don't already know, I go to the oil filter cross-reference on the Internet. I'll just say whatever the oil filter is that the car calls for, I'll type in that, you know, like Fram PH8A. Fram, F-R-A-M, space, PH8A, and I'll look for, and I'll type in comma cross-reference, and I'll see what other alternatives there are, and then I'll look at the sizes, and I'll select the largest one, physically the largest one, and of course I want to make sure that if I look at the oil filter on the car, and if it's like, oh, 4 inches long, do I have room for a 5-inch long one? If I do, I'm getting, you know, 25% more area. 25% more oil, 25% more oil in the filter for cooling. Everything's better, more filter media. It's crazy not to do it. And a lot of times, the larger ones cost the same or less than the small ones. I mean, you don't need to have the fun size oil filter. And I believe the reason that oil filters are so small today with new cars is because the accountants got together and said, hey, don't forget about me. I can save you money. So instead of putting a big oil filter on a car that uses a quart of oil, we can put a tiny one in that uses a quarter of a quart of oil. And we'll save 3/4 of a quart of oil on every new car. And I think that's what they're doing. So I want the big oil filter. And that's what I do. I look at the cross-reference. And what you need to do is you look at the specifications. You know, you go to the oil filter cross-reference. And you look at, and there's like probably 50 different brands. And you can find them on eBay. You can find them at your local store. I suggest you buy them on eBay. And if you're going to keep the car or truck for a while, you get like 10 of them. 10 of them at 4,000 miles per oil change, that's 40,000 miles. That's not that many oil filters. Keep them cool and dry and they'll last, you know, a long time. So that's what I do when I buy oil filters. But you need to make sure that if it has a check valve in it, that the cross-referenced one has a check valve in it also. So what's a check valve? So the oil filter, let's say you screw it in with the base up. So you're holding the hand, you're threading it onto the oil filter housing, and the threads are up, and the bottom of the oil filter can is in your hand. Well, the oil is going to flow into the oil filter, and it's not going to flow out. But some oil filters are sideways. And that means that the dirty oil can flow back into the engine if it doesn't have a check valve. So you want to make sure that if your filter from the factory comes from, from the car manufacturer has a check valve in it, you want to make sure that the new larger one that you put on, you have room for it, number one. And two, it also has a check valve. And you also look at the gasket diameter and so forth and make sure that the specs will move over to, you know, the replacement larger oil filter. And that's what I do. So we have an old 1994 Jeep, and it's a four-cylinder, and it had a small oil filter. Well, I put a Fram PH8A on it, and they cost me a couple dollars a piece. The size that it calls for is smaller, holds less oil, filters less, and costs more. That's crazy to do that. So that was one of my comments about the oil filter cross-reference and larger oil filters. Any questions or comments, David, on that?
Yeah, it's a great idea to buy it in bulk and for down the road because of the legislation I just heard about in an interview Sunday. They're planning on stopping the sale of combustion engine vehicles by 2030. Now, that may be a ways away, in a way, but in a way it's not.
That's 9 years away. And the answer is you're right. I think Volvo has stopped the production of gasoline engines, and Ford has discontinued a whole bunch of their models. Looks like the sedan is toast. And so they're going toward electric vehicles. Now, if you don't think, I'm not talking about David, but class, if you don't think there's a lot of control with an electric vehicle, my gosh, all they have to do is, since you have smart meters now, they can say, I think those guys are using more electricity than they should be, so we're going to shut them off. Or we don't see a payment, and the system automatically shuts you off. So your electricity can be shut off remotely. So it's not like some guy comes to your house and you can fend him off with a shotgun and say, no, you're not going to do that because grandpa's on oxygen and he's got one of these oxygen generators. And if you shut the electricity off, you're going to kill him. That doesn't happen anymore. What happens is somebody sits at a computer with a mouse and they go, click off, and your electricity's off.
Yeah. And then there's the plans to charge per mile on those vehicles for operating them on the roadway.
Okay, and that's, you know, and I understand that. Because here's something else that's happened, and we get off into these tangents, but I think they're valuable. So, the suburbs, there's a book, J. Howard Kunstler wrote a book, or Howard Kunstler wrote a book called The Long Emergency. And it's about why the suburbs developed. So, people used to live in the city, and they lived in the city because the factories were in the city. You know, scissors used to be made in Brooklyn. Shirts used to be made in New York City. We used to have foundries in the cities. Well, not anymore. We moved them off to China, if you can use that word anymore, China. So people who lived in the city found out that instead of living in an apartment, they could buy more land and have a house on it and drive back and forth to work because gas was cheap. Fuel was cheap. Well, so that built the suburbs. So suburbs were built, houses were spread out, and it costs more for the infrastructure to be maintained for the suburbs because there was more space. The roads were, you know, longer roads between houses, more space between for the city water system and so forth. The sewer systems, it all costs more because it longer runs between houses. Well, but when they built those houses, they got assistance from the federal government. And building a new road isn't all that expensive compared to maintaining roads. So now what's happened is the infrastructure is collapsing in the United States because if the cities don't grow, they can't use the new money to replace the old decaying infrastructure. That's why we have problems in cities. That's why the bridges aren't fixed. That's why the roads have potholes and the cities can't afford it. So the only thing they can do is raise taxes. Now, if people switch to electric cars and they're not paying the fuel tax, the federal and state and local fuel tax per gallon, like for diesel and for gasoline, because they have electric cars, they're going to get that money. The cities and the feds are going to get their money anyway. They're just going to charge you per mile. And they're going to do it through your electric bill. That's how it's going to happen. It's as simple as that. Because the long emergency has created a real serious problem. And the car makers have somehow become so confused that they think that electricity is the answer. I got to tell you that we have a bulldozer here, and I would never even consider having an electric bulldozer because it couldn't produce the energy necessary to move dirt. I couldn't have an electric backhoe, and I certainly couldn't have an electric tractor either because they don't have the energy per unit of density in electricity that you have with diesel fuel. It's as simple as that. So this is going to be a mess. And if you think that here's another problem. There is now a shortage of semiconductors. They call them chips. Well, they're really integrated circuits. These integrated circuits, these computer circuitry devices, are in short supply. And all the manufacturers seem to be using the same integrated circuits for their computer controls on the new cars. But they're in short supply. So the production lines are being shut down because of these integrated circuit chips. Car came in here. By the way, it's really difficult to get us to look at a car because it goes through quarantine. The owner of the car will make an appointment. We'll say, okay, put it over there. And we don't even get close to them. They leave it, and we park it in the sun, and we leave it there for a few days before we even consider working on it. Then we disinfect it with ultraviolet light and so forth. It's a real process. Well, a car came in here, and a Mercedes. And what happened is this guy was driving along, and all of a sudden the front brakes would slam on without his foot on the brake, lock up. Lock up. Without him saying, hey, you know, we're going to slow down by stepping on the brake. Well, he got the car started again, drove a little bit more, same thing happened. Pulls it over, gets it towed in, the repair shop cuts the sensors on the front wheels and replaces the computer. Now the car is drivable. Replaces the computer. So back in the 60s, there was no such thing. If you didn't step on the brake, that car was not going to stop, period. Now it knows when it wants to stop all by itself. This is crazy, beyond crazy. The car manufacturers think that people are so stupid they don't even have to stop the car without a computer assisting or a computer assist.
Here's something else that happens with all these electronic cars in these computer-activated vehicles. You get some moron in the office that decides to do a firmware update on it, and you toast the vehicle because he does it wrong.
Absolutely. Absolutely true. Not only that, partial firmware updates. So, there are a series of, when they do a firmware update for a one of the car's computers or truck's computers, there's a series that, you know, step one, step two, step three, you do all of them. Some people say, well, just do the last step because that's where the problem is. We'll just work on the last one. Well, it really messes the cars up. And then they don't operate properly. And you have to go back to the dealer. And the dealer says, no, we didn't do it. So you pay to have them do it again. If it can be done.
And so most of the time it can't be.
So here's an interesting thing. Yeah, here's an interesting thing. So a guy has a problem with his heat. Heat's not working on his car. So he goes to the internet and tries to figure out what to do, and it says, well, if you have this problem, you don't get heat in the car, it's probably the circulator pump. So what Mercedes does is they have this circulator pump. It's like $200 at AutoZone. And it, when you start your engine, you will have heat inside the cabin in a minute in a Mercedes. Because Mercedes doesn't think you should have to wait for heat, you know, like 3 minutes or 4 minutes like everybody else. So they have this circulator pump. It's a couple $100. And the guy decided that he was going to put it in himself. So he did. Put it in, and heat worked for a real short time and stopped. It didn't work. Couldn't figure it out. Couldn't figure out what the problem is. I'll tell you what happened when we come back. You'll be absolutely stunned at what the fix was. And this is valuable information that you're probably not going to learn anywhere else.
You hear the headlines. You know health insurance is a real mess right now. Premiums have skyrocketed, and in most cases, you're stuck with your plan until open enrollment. But there's a government rule that allows you to qualify for lower health insurance rates if your life has changed. That means if you've changed jobs, if you're having a child, if you're getting married, if you're getting divorced, even if you run a small business or you're self-employed, this law may qualify you to get lower health insurance rates. Call the Health Insurance Hotline today. Learn how this 10-minute call can help you get lower health insurance rates. This is a free service to help consumers learn the laws to help them qualify for lower health insurance rates. So call right now to learn more. 800-670-0946. 800-670-0946. Call 800-670-0946. 800-670-0946.
Tejibo Tea Club's original Pure Pau D'Arco Super Tea helps build the red corpuscles in the blood which carry oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves. The immune system needs oxygen to develop, and cancer dies in oxygen. So the tea is great for healthy people, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. A one-pound package of tea is $34.95 plus shipping. To order, please visit shopsupertea.com. That's shop, S-H-O-P, super, S-U-P-E-R, T-T-E-A.com. So the complete website is shopsupertea.com or call us at 818-984-6100, Monday through Saturday, 9 to 5 California time. That's shopsupertea.com at 818-984-6100.
Would you like to get back that full head of hair from years past? Now, there is Reveal. Beverly Hills celebrity dermatologist Dr. Nathan Newman took nearly a decade to develop Reveal from natural botanicals to return to a full body head of hair. Reveal for men and women with a 30-day money-back guarantee at GCNLife.com or toll-free 844-443-6637. 844-443-6637. Reveal at GCNLife.com.
Attention business owners body slammed by overwhelming debt. If your business is in trouble, hassled by creditors, if you're frustrated, finally fed up with big business bailouts while your business has been left for dead, please listen close. There's a brand new fast-track bankruptcy. Some have even called it the biggest small business bailout in American history. Designed for individuals and their businesses. And look, almost no one knows about this yet. My attorney wasn't even aware of it. The truth is, beating the system has never been easy because it's rigged in a sense against the little guy. But here's the jaw-dropping news nobody's talking about. They've literally just changed the system so that you can beat it. But only if you understand how the new game has to be played. Find out if you qualify at pocketsoflight.com. This government-backed small business repair program is still legal, but may not be renewed after the election. Fight back fairly, fight back ethically at pocketsoflight.com.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
No whining. Only expert guests and seasoned opinions. Instruction that matters. At the controls, Vincent Finelli.
So our son was working on this car, this truck, and the heat didn't work. And the owner replaced the circulation pump. And he checked the all the codes, and there were a lot of codes on this particular vehicle. And he diagnosed all these problems and reset the codes. And he looked at the solenoids for the heat control. He looked at the door flappers inside the heater box, you know, make sure that the air direction was working properly. And he felt warm coolant or antifreeze going into the heater core, but not coming out. And so he told me about it, and I said, oh, well, flush the heater core. He said, well, that's what I was going to do next. So he took the hoses off the heater core, and he flushed the heater, and he found what the problem was. There was a moth inside the heater core. Now, who would have ever thought that, oh, yeah, that's a moth. That happens all the time. That's the first time I've ever seen that, where a moth has shut down the heating system of a car. So there were no parts involved. I mean, it was just labor. And it took 3 hours for our son to diagnose and flush and, you know, drain some of the coolant out and filter it and put it back in. Because we don't like spending customers' money. So the guy got a really small bill for it. And he's delighted because now he's back in business. And he has heat. But he probably did not need to replace that heater pump for a couple $100. And, you know, live and learn. So just because you read about it on the internet and says, here's what the problem is, it's not necessarily the case. Any comments, David?
I could see all of them. Anything like that being, you wouldn't think something like that would happen, but hey, anything can possibly happen. But I mean, these new, now I've seen a, now have you ever had this issue? I seen a, watched a video yesterday, actually last night, where they hooked the car up, had some engine problems, and they hooked it up to the computer. The computer said, all six sparks were misfiring. The problem was it was a four-cylinder. So figure that one out.
Okay, well, all right. There are all kinds of scanners, and what we found is some of these Asian scanners aren't so good. Actually, probably all come from Asia at some level. But so we have three different levels. We have, and the inexpensive one that we have is probably $35. It's great because I can do a real quick check. It just can read. And then the more expensive one can read more. And then we have a real expensive one that takes forever. I mean, it takes a long time to read all these codes from the computer because it's so sophisticated. It takes longer to get that information downloaded from the computer. So, you know, sometimes it's nice to use the cheap one because it gives you a quick, instant answer, but not complete answer. So anyway, what can happen is the programming of the scanner can be wrong. Sometimes you, our expensive scanner, what happens is it asks you, it says, okay, is this a 4-cylinder, 6-cylinder, 8-cylinder? It wants to confirm that. So you can put in the wrong answer and get a bad result. Now we have seen these spark, coils, and they're called, coil on plug, COP. And what used to be that you'd have an ignition coil, ignition points, condenser, rotor, distributor cap, and you'd have one coil, and as the rotor spun around the distributor cap, it would send the spark to different ignition wires going to each spark plug. Well, now we have the spark plug coils on top of the spark plug, and we have seen a failure on one, but like, for example, there's an inexpensive Ford that has a 4-cylinder engine, and there are 4 spark plug coils on top of each spark plug, but you replace all of them at the same time. So instead of replacing one inexpensive part, you're looking at a couple $100 to replace all of them because they're all stuck together. I mean, it's ridiculous. These designs are not designed for the automobile owner, and they're not designed for the automobile repair mechanic. They're designed to make it easy to assemble, and the heck with everybody else downstream. So it's a real problem. But we saw, it was real interesting. We worked on a car. It was a Ford, and it was misfiring. Same kind of symptoms, same kind of error code. And what happened was the guy who changed the spark plugs before didn't put the ignition coil on plug assembly on properly. So there was a gap between the contact for the spark from the coil and the spark plug top. And it blew a hole in the side of the insulation, and it caused the whole assembly to fail. And mileage went way down, the engine ran rough, and it required roughly a $200 part. You know, list price or probably even more than that. But that's what happens. People just flat out don't know what they're doing, and they don't take the time and care to make sure that they do it right. Now, for example, when we replace spark plugs, we use copper coat on the threads of the spark plugs. That way they go in easier, they don't destroy the aluminum head of the engine, and they come out easier next time without destroying the head. But it takes longer. Who does it? Nobody but us. It costs, I don't know, $10, $15 for 4 ounces of this copper coat. But that's what we do. David, any comments?
But don't it make you feel that much better and you know you did it the right way?
Absolutely. May the job be big or small, do it right or not at all. Class, if you like this kind of broadcasting where we actually talk about things that hardly anybody else talks about, let me know. Send me an email, instructor@usaprepairs.com. Tell me good, bad, you know, you like it, don't like it. I'd love to know what you'd like to hear about. David, thank you for calling in and sharing your wealth of wisdom.
Thank you.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. The IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks, so it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So, how'd it go for Jake?
They did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.